You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 14th, 2021. That was yesterday. See, I got you. It's April 15th. Why would I do that? Well, because April 15th is your tax day, isn't it? Oh, no, not this time around. It's been extended. So you're getting a day of grace. So for those of you who thought it really was the 14th, no, it's the 15th. But you don't have to get the taxes in now. And if you don't pay what's old at this point, they're apparently not going to penalize you when the next date hits, and sometime in May, and I'm not going to guess right now. It'll probably be moved again. Who knows? But we do know this. We do know the Democrats and progressives are moving forward with their plans, and that is, well, what can we do to change everything up? Well, let's get control of the court. That's right, control of the court. Our Constitution lays out three separate branches: the executive, the White House, Congress, the House and Senate, and the judicial, the Supreme Court, and other courts. But Democrats say they want the court to do their bidding. So they are pushing expansion. They presented today legislation to expand the size of the Supreme Court to add 4 seats to the high court, going from 9 to 13. I will remind you that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a staunch liberal on the Supreme Court, before her death and several times before, when the case came up, she said, 9 is a perfect number. We don't really need to add any. And in fact, more recently, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, another liberal, he's opposed to packing the court with additional justices. And the left doesn't like, they want him off. They want him gone. He's been a great leftist until he doesn't walk the talk they want. In the meantime, the Supreme Court expansion is infrastructure. That's right. They are now claiming a court packing bill to increase the justices from 9 to 13. The money goes into it as part of the infrastructure changes, the infrastructure of the Supreme Court. Senator Gillibrand, Democrat in New York, also said, add to that paid leave, child care, and caregiving. They're all infrastructure also. We told you the money in that package, only 8% at the most was going to go for actually improving roads, bridges, highways. The rest of it is all these sweetheart deals of the left. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calling this spin out. He said instead of coming up with a better bill, Democrats have decided it's the English language that needs to change. That's exactly what they've been doing. And they're trying. They're going to go forward. And Minority Leader McConnell also said the Democrats' efforts here are equivalent to hostage taking. So Vice President Kamala Harris says she is going to deal with the root causes of the migrant crisis. And she has plans to visit, it's not the border. She's going to fly right over the border. Deep into Mexico, maybe Mexico City, and then maybe go to Guatemala, but she ain't going to go near the border and see all those kids like that. She ain't going to do it. Now, she did it when Trump was in office and she was campaigning. Now, I don't be near that border. That's a hotbed, makes us look bad. And, of course, House Republicans have pointed out, I'm going to do it again. Point out her failure to even go visit the southern border since she's been tapped to play the key role of the crisis, and she still hasn't shown up. I love this. That's why I keep repeating it. They put a picture of Kamala Harris on a milk carton. Missing. In the meantime, some House and Senate Democrats are urging President Biden to include amnesty for millions of illegals. Also part of the infrastructure, didn't you know? Now you do. Hear this. More than 100,000 Russian troops and assault vehicles painted with invasion stripes headed to Ukraine's border. 1,300 battle tanks, 3,700 drones, 1,300 artillery, mortar units. You're going to have to keep a close watch on that because they're testing Biden as well and our nation. And China's latest military exercise near Taiwan is also going to be testing Biden and his resolve. China flew 25 aircraft over Taiwan, breaching its air defense system. You want some good news? You want some good news? All right. I got a piece of good news for you. The Dow Jones today gaining over 270 points for the first time, crossing the 34,000 level. Did you make money? Well, sucks to be you then, doesn't it? I guess.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men below.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The president has the authority to do it. Just if I can make an analogy that's not totally appropriate, but to talk about perceptions for a moment. Speak of perceptions and why I think they're so important. President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea.
That is Senator Joe Biden speaking about what FDR did and said it was a bonehead idea to try to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. So in 1983, as a senator, he said it's not a good idea to pack the court, to add justices just so you can have your political party in control. And keep in mind, the idea for these guys of packing the court, their plan they introduced today is add four more justices, four. Moving up to 13, the total number. Well, what difference would that make? Well, first of all, if Biden's appointing them are Kamala, if it happens when she steps in, which could be, well, I don't know, what time is it? Could be before the end of the day. You never know. But they want the opportunity to do so because they look at what Trump did. And, of course, if you remember, Obama did his best to get Ruth Bader Ginsburg to resign when he was in office. She basically said, I'm not going until I'm ready. And she didn't. I mean, that woman was tough as nails. Not going to leave. Now, I know Obama thought, well, okay, Hillary will win, and, you know, Hillary get that appointment, so that'll be okay still. Hillary didn't win. And then, how dare Ruth Bader Ginsburg decide to pass away? And the vacancy came. And I feel for her family and those who knew her and loved her. I mean, just because you are different in your political stripe or opinions on things, you still care about someone as a human being. I hope you do. But they really wanted her to step aside because they feared something like that would happen. But they kind of took solace in the fact Trump ain't going to win. No way he could win. Hillary's going to win. And Hillary had Russians helping her, remember? Oh, yeah, that's right. They blamed Trump for Russian collusion, but it was Hillary and the DNC and putting money together to pay for this Steele dossier, which was a fake all the way. So any Russian collusion that took place involved her. But their game plan fell apart because Trump won. So now that Biden's in there, or Kamala, whoever's there, the next 30 minutes or next 30 days or whatever, they want to add four justices. Four. Just again, part of their progressive movement to transform our nation. And I'll remind you again, they don't want the justices on there to maybe have a more balanced view. They're not looking for any balanced view. They want a way to control and dictate what the court's going to say and do. That's what they're doing. As I told you in the news and commentary, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said their efforts to pack the court is a hostage-taking move aimed to ensure that there is a sword dangling over the justices as they weigh how they're going to rule in future cases. That's exactly right. I would say extortion. But again, in 1968, Joe Biden was against packing the court. But as you also remember during the 2020 presidential campaign, when he was asked that repeatedly, he dodged the question every chance he got, never really gave an answer. Finally, at a campaign stop in Ohio in October, a month before the election, he said, quote, "I'm not a fan of court packing. That's not to say I won't go along with it, but I'm not a fan." That was a dangerous step for him to take because a progressive might say, well, then you can't be our president if that's what you're going to do, if you're not going to come out solid. And, of course, just last week he came up with, they're going to have this newly formed commission to examine reform debate and look at the court and the constitutional system. A commission looking at the U.S. Supreme Court. They're not going to wait for any results or reaction, response from the commission. They've already moved forward to add justices. But again, if you listen to Joe Biden, go back to the time in 1968, it was a bonehead move then. Today, we kind of like it. Here we go.
He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Did you hear that? He's acknowledging how important the Supreme Court is, the most important of the triad. The most important. And Justice Stephen Breyer, who served alongside Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's still on the court, he said the other day, and remember she had said, 9's a perfect number, we don't need to add them. So he said, it's not a good idea to add members, we're just fine the way it is. Well, you know what the progressives and the left want now? They want his head. They want Justice Stephen Breyer's head. Well, he's been a great liberal, ruling the way they want for a long time, but if he's not going to go along with this game plan, off with your head. And do it now while we've got the chance to make an appointment. I wish Justice Stephen Breyer great health moving forward. I will say if a member of the squad brings him a cupcake, don't eat it. Don't eat it. I didn't say they're going to poison him. I just said don't eat it. You made that jump. You made that jump. I didn't. Shame on you. So anyway, they're going to push forward, and they're using still another tactic. You know what they're now saying? They are now claiming that expanding the court and adding more members is in the words of Congressman Mondaire Jones, Democrat in New York, the opinion being shared by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, that this Supreme Court expansion is all part of our infrastructure package. Did you know that? You're learning more and more every day that infrastructure isn't what you thought it is, correct? Because they are redefining words, as I told you the other day. The progressive lexicon redefines everything. And they will say, well, words change as we go through society. I know that. You do too. I mean, remember when somebody would point somebody and say, they're bad. Oh, you didn't want to get near them. But now they say, they're bad. Oh, I want to be, they're kind of cool. But this is just absolutely redefining anything and everything they can because they can. Now the question is, will they actually get this through? To actually get around to adding four justices. And don't forget, they're also pushing D.C. statehood. That's to add two more senators. And Puerto Rico, two more. And every one of those four will be a Democrat. I'll promise you that. But let's go to Chris, whatever his name is, a CNN editor-at-large. Editor-at-large. I guess he is kind of a large editor. Is that what he means? I don't know what they meant. Never know what CNN means. But anyway, Chris is saying, and I'm going to quote him here, one of the most common mistakes in Washington is to confuse movement with action. Got my interest. And he says that's exactly what's happening these days when it comes to debate over whether the Supreme Court should be expanded from its current 9 seats as a way to offset the 6-3 conservative majority on the court submitted by former President Donald Trump's 3 appointments over the course of his 4-year term. This guy isn't a writer, I'll tell you that. There was no period until I got to the end of that. Do you realize that? You got to take a breath to read that. I read all I did without taking a breath, but that's one sentence. When I was teaching journalism to others, I said, you don't do that. You write it conversationally. That's totally confusing. Anyway, let's stay with the fact. I won't go down the rabbit hole of teaching journalism. Said Thursday, a handful of Democratic senators and House members introducing legislation. We just talked about that. We know that. And he said, at first glance, you might be tempted to think things are happening. And then he said, the Democrat establishment listened to its liberal wing during the 2020 campaign and is reacting to blunt the clear advantage of the court that Trump, with a major assist from Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, established over the last 4 years. ! He adds. And he adds, yeah, no. He said, what is happening in Washington in regard to changing the makeup of the court is sound and fury, signifying not all that much. And he added, with apologies to William Faulkner. I thought for sure he was going to take credit for that line. So then he starts going through the legislation. And he points out something that is true and we should keep in mind. So I won't say he's totally out in left field or even outside the ballpark. He's saying there's a big difference between introducing a bill, which any member of Congress can do visually at any point, virtually, I should say, at any point, and the piece of legislation having any realistic chance of passing. It just hangs there. He said the court expansion bill is the former, not the latter. They reintroduce it, but they might not pass it. You gave us a bill, but you didn't do anything with it. I'm sorry, I just flashed back to Seinfeld. Remember Jerry Seinfeld when he had a car being held at the airport for him, so he had a rental car? And he gets there, they don't have the car. He said, but I gave you a reservation. And you took the reservation. You took the reservation, but you're not giving me a car. That's right. So here, if you follow this line of reasoning and thought, they gave the impression they're going to switch up the court. And yeah, it gets us all upset and angered. It causes comments, and so it gives me good material. But will it really happen? According to Chris, it probably won't. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat, along with Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, said, "I'm not yet convinced the court needs to be expanded." Whoa. Inside their own ranks. And especially Dick Durbin, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, saying, "I'm not ready to sign on." So what would be the purpose of doing all this then? Smoke and mirrors? Or if you don't have the steak, you sell the sizzle, as I've often told you. But they're acting like they're doing something. Chris Zizza might actually be right about this. It won't get any farther than talk and posturing, strutting around like, look what we're doing, but they're not. Maybe. You still want to keep a close watch on it. Coming up, here's something the Democrats don't want to hear either. A Fox News report saying they've been talking to a lot of New Yorkers who are Democrats. They're not just jumping out of New York. They're jumping out of the Democrat Party. You'll like this story. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Pretty incredible. These New Yorkers tell me that 2020 was a big wake-up call for them. One, for example, says that he previously voted for Hillary Clinton, then flipped to Trump in 2020. He says he lost faith in New York City's Democrats after he saw businesses destroyed by COVID lockdowns and the influence of socialism growing across the city. Another longtime Democrat who voted for Trump would only speak to us anonymously because he's so afraid he's going to get canceled. He says his final straw was those violent protests over the summer and spikes in crime.
I remember seeing these self-righteous politicians going on TV talking about they wanted to fund the cops. And, like, I can't even take the train. I couldn't let my girlfriend take the train.
Now, that is a Fox News report about Democrats in New York City wanting out of the city if they can, but they're also getting out of the Democrat Party because it ain't doing nothing for them. In fact, it's jeopardizing them. Fox News analysis of the AP election results shows that Trump gained nearly 200,000 votes from New York City residents in 2020 compared to 2016. 200,000 more votes in 2016. A 4.6% boost. And Democrats lost 3% of the votes for Biden compared to Clinton's count in 2016. Biggest shifts coming from Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, the hardest hit by COVID, but also where folks have a lot of crime. And you heard that one say about crime, how bad it is. The Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund coming out and pointing out in 12 American cities, in a dozen American cities run by Democrats, the murder rate is skyrocketing. And nationally, the murder rate hit a 26-year high. You want some specifics? Here it is. Democrat-run Chicago, arrests and stops are down 53%, but murders are up 65%. New York City Democrat run, arrest and stops down 38%, murders are up 58%. Democrat run Minneapolis, arrest and stops down 42%, murder up 64%. Democrat run LA, arrest and stops down 33%, murders up 51%. And according to this, Democrat run St. Louis is now America's murder capital. In 2020, the murder rate a 50-year high. With 87 out of every 100,000 residents being murdered. That is, again, according to the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. They point out you're three times more likely to be murdered in St. Louis than in Mexico. Crime is a big deal, and you got these folks hollering for defunding police. And police officers say, I'm not going to stay in the job anymore. It's just not worth it, too dangerous, not appreciated. You can't do anything right. Doesn't make any difference what color the officer is. They're going to be wrong. New York not doing well. And also a new survey, a YouGov poll, found out that D.C. is rated as the worst place in the country to live in D.C. Top-ranking state, Hawaii. But, of course, you might have to have a vaccine passport to get there. We've been telling you they've been doing that. Oh, by the way, former first daughter Chelsea Clinton said she agrees. This is Chelsea Clinton, former daughter of Bill and Hillary. Not former daughter, former first daughter. Said she agrees with Speaker John Boehner. Republican Party had been taken over by kooks and lunatics. If they're kooks and lunatics, who the hell are the Democrats? Coming up, former Ambassador Pete Hoekstra, former House Intel Chair, and said we cannot allow the Democrats to use our own intel agencies to spy on Americans. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest. We've had on previously former U.S. Ambassador to the Netherlands, Pete Hoekstra, also previously serving in the House and Senate Intel Chair, House Intel Chair, and also now with the Center for Security Policy. And he made a note about how the worldwide threats and the hearings that they're having about those being held by House and Senate Intel committees. And his basic question is, are we watching the Director of National Intel begin to investigate Americans as violent extremists? Pete Hoekstra, glad to have you back on board with us, Ambassador.
Hey, it's great to be back with you today. And I obviously you followed some of the hearing today. It was unbelievable what some of these folks were saying today.
Well, I'll let you lay it out for the public in the sense that, you know, where do you see the first of all, these intel agencies, their focus is to be domestic or foreign or both?
No, it's well, when I was chairman of the Intelligence Committee, we thought that the intelligence community, that the restrictions rightfully so, were that the intelligence community would focus on enemies external to the United States of America. And today we actually had the Director of National Intelligence say that she believes that the CIA can operate domestically. And it's like, wow, if this doesn't spread fear through every American, it really should. Now, she didn't come out and specifically say that. But what she said is the statute that governs this, which we call 12333, says, you know, the FBI is, or excuse me, the intelligence community is prohibited from acting domestically. She said that she didn't really think that it that is what that said, that it didn't prohibit that.
Well,
so the corollary is, she says, they can.
And we know they're constantly reworking the meaning of words anyway. They have their new lexicon, the progressive lexicon, as we've said before, that infrastructure now includes child care. I mean, so they're rewriting all the language anyway, if they can't rewrite the bills. But she's basically saying it would be okay for the CIA, and with the FBI, that's the duty of the FBI to kind of watch over U.S. citizens. Now, I understand, and you, of course, serving as the chair of the House Intel Committee, if the CIA is tracking somebody, a foreign terrorist, and they have links into the U.S., well, then they might end up looking at that specific person. But I don't get that impression from them now. They're just going to blanket go after anyone they consider an enemy of the state or enemy of their party.
Well, that's where they're headed. And, you know, in terms of the FBI, I did not know this. I don't know if you were aware of this, but one of the congressmen today brought it up and said that, you know, Director Wray, are you aware of the fact that, remember when the guy went out and shot Steve Scalise and a number of other Republicans at the baseball practice? And he had asked people there, you know, are those Republicans or Democrats, and are those members of Congress? And the answers were yes, yes. And the FBI said this guy was motivated by murder by cop. And it's like, if this is the FBI coming to this brilliant conclusion, I'm sorry, they need to be wholesale reformed and changed. I mean, a guy comes and says, you know, are those Republicans?
Yeah. Make sure he's got the right target. He wants the right target.
I got to make sure I got the right target.
Right.
And start shooting, almost kill Steve Scalise. And then the FBI says, he was motivated by, he wanted to be murdered by cops. I can't go there.
I agree. I've spent 50-plus years in news business and TV anchor and stuff like that, and I've worked with numerous FBI agents, special agents in charge of a sack at each location wherever I was, and always I have the highest regard for them and the men and women of the ranks. But right now, what's happened now, I mean, and we saw that during the Trump administration when you have House Intel Committee Chairman, in fact, your colleague Fred Flights, President CEO of Center for Security Policy, pointed out that Adam Schiff and other committee Democrats used all their hearings to simply attack Trump's foreign policy and advance that false narrative about Russian collusion. They were not interested, in fact, and they were using the intel agencies to go after the president.
Yeah. And then the last takeaway that I had from today, you caught me at just the right time because I'm just writing something up on this. The Bugs and Bunny intelligence crowd is back at the CIA and in the intelligence community. One of the last intelligence reform bills that I had the opportunity to provide input on, and the CIA was going to create a climate terrorism center.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? What? And the Democrat chairman came, responded to my critique and said, Congressman Hoekstra, in all due respect, this is not a Bugs and Bunny intelligence community. And you know what? If you watch the hearing today, there was more talk about the threat from climate change than from Al-Qaeda or ISIS. And I study Al-Qaeda and ISIS and the radical jihadist threat on a regular basis. And, it's like these are the people that are running our intelligence community. Sure, they've got Iran, Russia, China at the top of the list, but then comes climate change. And then, oh, by the way, there is also this threat from radical jihadists. But they would even probably put domestic terrorism in front of jihadists.
Let me break that down. Again, you're listening to Pete Hoekstra, who is a former ambassador, U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands, but also serving as a former chair of the House Intel Committee and overseeing House and Senate Intel worldwide threat hearings. Now, you mentioned jihadists so far. We have been pointing out, and I have repeatedly, I'm sure you have as well, we have an open border. We don't really have a border right now. And we've already been catching folks from Yemen and elsewhere in the Middle East coming across the border, posing as Central American or Mexican. By their color, they can almost get away with it until they happen to get caught. So I keep asking, how many jihadists have come across our border? They can't fly into New York on a plane, but they can get with a caravan and come across the border.
Yeah, well, we have no idea. I mean, number one, we're probably not detaining a very high percentage of the people coming across the border. The second thing is if we do detain them, we may ask them some rudimentary questions and those types of things, but a number of them are just then being released into the population. We have no idea. I'll tell you, I never thought it could get this bad, but we are setting ourselves up to be vulnerable and at risk. And yes, we're at risk from China. We are at risk from cyber threats around the world. But much of this is going to be because we have made policy decisions and we've altered our priorities from real threats to imaginary threats. We have let down our guard in certain areas. And the best example is the one you just mentioned. Countries want borders if they want to be a country.
Well, let me break that down. A couple things there real quick. First of all, your first blush reaction to Biden pulling troops out of Afghanistan. Trump was going to do it anyway, in May, and now Biden says it's going to be September. When Obama moved out as quickly as he did, that gave the rise to ISIS. I do agree we can't be a police agency for everywhere, but terrorist groups springing up again that might have been eradicated in the futile fighting in Afghanistan, what do you see happening going forward?
Well, what I'm hoping is that there are agreements between the U.S. government, NATO, and the Afghan government that for the assistance that we will continue to provide, that our intelligence communities and our intelligence assets will have the capability to operate within the territorial limits of the territorial borders of Afghanistan to go after terrorist threats.
Let me throw another one at you in the last minute or so here. I had earlier that we had more than 100,000 Russian troops in assault vehicles painted with invasion stripes headed to Ukraine's border. That's 1,300 battle tanks, 3,700 drones, 1,300 artillery mortar units, rocket systems. That's definitely a test against Biden at this point. What should we be doing?
Well, we should be totally engaging with our European allies, and we should put this at their feet because they are the ones that for the last 20 years have been unwilling to pay for NATO. They have been unwilling to invest. They've been I saw this in the Netherlands. My wife was always my best defender because, we would be talking with a group of Dutch folks and they would say, she would hear that, their manpower and their army and all of that was at 60%. And then she would crystallize it just like you crystallize things for me. She would say, oh, that means if there's a war, in Europe where people are at risk, you'll once again be waiting for American men and women to be the ones that are on the front lines and to be killed because you're unwilling to put people into uniform.
Excellent point. As always, we appreciate you joining us, Ambassador. We'll do it again, sir.
Hey, I love it. You're great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Former U.S. Ambassador of the Netherlands, Pete Hoekstra. Now coming up, something entirely different. Fun. Stand by.
Hear podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I have a personal question. A personal question for you. If you choose not to answer or say that's none of your damn business, I will understand. But I'm going to ask it. And the question is, how can I do this right? Well, let's begin with, do you know what a cow pie is? You ever had a cow pie? No, you don't eat it. You don't eat it. Do you know what a cow chip is? Now, the real personal part is, have you ever thrown a cow chip? Trying to win money by throwing a cow chip or a championship? I'm going to confess I have. In fact, this Saturday is a world championship of cow chip throwing. Held the World Championship Cow Chip Throwing Contest, usually the third Saturday in April. That would be this Saturday. I haven't checked to see if it's still on. I don't think COVID's going to stop this one. I mean, if a cow chip won't mess you up, I doubt COVID can. So the cow chip contest, a cow pie is when the cow, we know they produce a lot of methane gas, right? Well, they also make a deposit on the ground. And there's nothing worse than being a kid running across a field and barefoot and you step in a fresh cow pie. Now you know what it is. And it doesn't help if you step on a hard cow chip either. That's pretty hard sometimes. But cow chip throwers, they come in all sizes, genders, races, religions. Well, I should say, I don't know really if those who name the cows being sacred. I don't know if they do, but I'm going to tell you a story in a moment that maybe they do. But the official cow chip throw contest is you're supposed to get, you pick out the best chip you can. And they got a lot of chips stacked up. And you pick out one that you think, well, it's got to be at least 6 inches in diameter, and you got to throw it as far as you can. Some like it like a discus. You can go around and around, release it. And there are some that when their process of going around and around, it breaks in their hand, and it's still very fresh on the inside, and it's not pretty. Not like COVID, but it ain't pretty. So generally also, if you're even watching a cow chip throwing contest, don't be yelling and don't be shouting. And in fact, you might want your COVID mask because chips and pieces fly off while it's in the air. And the last thing you want to do is inhale part of a cow chip. Now, with all that said, India looks at the cow as very sacred. I mean, in India, they have cows in the middle of the street, and you don't mow them. They just gradually mow them. You know, they're very sacred, going to take care of. But you know what they do? That was not a pun. What they do, you got it. Never mind. Forget it. In India, they are doing what they normally do to mark the new year. And they call it, the celebration is Padakkala Samara. I guess that's the way you call it. And what they do on this is they have thousands come together. And they are hurling, as they call them, cow dung cakes at each other. I don't mean just throwing it, see how far. You're trying to hit people. You know you've seen those pictures in some parts of the world where they have a big tomato fight and everybody's throwing tomatoes. This is cow dung, in using nice phrasing. And a lot of it, when it hits you, it splatters and opens up as well. But this is what they do. The village where they hold this, the day after Lunar New Year celebrations, you have to decide which side of the village you're going to be on, who you're going to be with. And then they all get together and they grab up all the cow dung they've been collecting for a while because they love their cattle and they protect them. They're sacred and their deposits are sacred. But at that point, they can stand out there and throw it. Now, some folks are saying they've got, and this is a legitimate concern, COVID cases hitting 200,000 cases a day in India. 200,000. Now, that is frightening, and that's a phenomenal number. There were those who were thinking that maybe they won't have the cow dung throwing contest this year. Nope, they're still going to do it. COVID's not going to stop them. But the guy leading the India COVID response, there, Dr. Fauci, said these soaring infections as a tsunami, we need to consider stopping it because the new wave affects both young and old and even children. So there's a legitimate concern in India. But it appears right now that they're going to do what they do. I couldn't help myself. You got to forgive me. So now you are fully informed. If you ever say, and people tell you, Larry Connors USA is all about politics and stuff like, obviously not. Yes, there is some BS. That's another perfect example, right? But I have a BS degree, and I just proved how and why I got it. I do appreciate you listening. Let your friends and neighbors know. Don't forget, you can go to our podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and pick up any podcast. Subscribe. We'll send it right to you daily. No cow pie. Remember our motto, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.